You've heard women say, I clean and clean my skin and still it looks dull and tired and dirty. Here's the explanation simplified. Your skin, whether on your face or all over the rest of your body, is dotted with thousands of tiny openings called pores. If these pores do get filled up from without and within, they're stretched larger and coarser. Blackheads form, other eruptions, and you have a dull, tired, dirty-looking skin. Skin that constantly breaks out.
I'm Ellen.
And I'm Hannah.
This is Pretty Zitty. You want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'll kick us off. Today we are doing a historical dive into acne treatments from the past, and it's going to be an interesting little report we're going to give you today. I've always liked research projects when I was a kid, but you never think that when you become an adult, you kind of miss that. But I actually really felt nostalgic researching for this episode because I felt like I was back in third grade. Like, not that this is going to be a third grade level of episode, but I don't know. It's just sort of nice to be researching something and having fun with it.
I think it's very funny because I guarantee you a lot of people listening to this are going to be like, I hated that growing up doing research projects.
I like really enjoyed it. Although I will say in fourth grade, I had a research assignment to research the Roman gods. And I was still pretty new to using the computer. We had like a family computer, like a Dell dinosaur computer in the basement.
Old lady alert.
Yeah, thank you. You're older than I am.
I know.
Anyway, and I remember having to like do research, and it was like one of the first times I was doing research for a project on a computer and not just going to the library or something. And I remember Googling like Mars, God of War, and like Googling all of these, and I just was like, what is this Wikipedia? It is the first result, and it's so easy. And so my entire project in fourth grade was based on Wikipedia.
Oh.
I just like genuinely thought it was a great resource. And every time I Googled a god, it was the first hit. And this was before I like was instructed that like, hey, maybe use some other sources. And I just remember to this day being like, wow, I'm so smart. I discovered this like website that people don't really know about. It's so handy.
That's really funny because Wikipedia was like the cheat sheet. So like you would go to Wikipedia and just use the sources at the bottom.
That's actually a really smart thing to do.
When I grew up, I also liked research projects except for history projects. I couldn't give less of a about anything involving history projects.
Oh, funny. Because that's literally what we're doing today. This is a history project.
I would say U.S. history projects. Or... Okay. You know what? This is a little more detailed, like broad, like...
Like Civil War was too broad for you and you were like, ugh, I don't care about the Civil War. Wars in general, war history is a little bit hard for me to get interested in.
Nothing was ever targeted enough for me. Like, I can only remember like two projects that were super specific that I just like loved. And one was in the second grade, we had to write a one-page paper and make a diorama.
I love dioramas.
I still have part of my diorama. I keep it in my room. It's my corner right now. I'm literally pointing at it.
I love that. I love little things, mini versions of things. It's so fun.
I literally came home on the day I got assigned this project. It was about monarch butterflies and migration from Mexico. And came home, made the diorama in one day, like made a huge stink about it to my mom where I was like, we need to go get all the supplies today. And I made the whole project. And then I remember the next and I wrote the whole paper. I did it all in a day.
Wow. In one night. You were so excited.
Because I loved school. And my mom the next morning was like, oh, don't forget your diorama. And I was like, oh, that's not due for a month. And she was like, what?
It's like, that's adorable. She's like, I drove you to Michael's.
Like, literally, she picked me up from school, drove me to Michael's for supplies. And I was, like, being so hard on myself because I was a really intense little kid when it came to, like, school projects. I remember.
I could see that.
I got in the fourth grade. I wrote a paper on Crispus Atticus or Attucks or whatever his name is. Crispus Attucks. And
oh, is he the guy? Okay, so Boston Massacre and he died?
I think so. He's like one of the only men of color that you ever learn about growing up until you learn about Martin Luther King Jr., which is so fucked up, to be honest with
you. He was the first person killed in the Boston Massacre and thus the first American killed in the American Revolution, which is very significant.
Jesus Christ. Well, I wrote a paper about him and I got a 96 and I was so upset I cried.
Oh, no.
I had never gotten less than a 98 before. Such a little bitch and such a little brat. But so when Hannah and I were talking about, you know, we have these cute little brainstorming sessions, you know, just girly things about what we would like to discuss on our podcast. The history of acne and acne treatment organically popped up like a pimple zooming out of a prepubescent face, basically.
That's right. And today we're going to drain that pimple of all its information.
And knowledge. So
and knowledge.
We did.
That's nasty.
It's disgusting. But I'm pretty proud of us because we did a decent amount of research. I bought a new pen for the occasion. And just a quick, quick pen ranking. The Sharpie S Gel in black, 0.7 millimeters, is an excellent pen. And it's on sale right now at Walmart. You can use my code. It's in the second to last row in the paper goods aisle. That's not really a code, but it's just there. This is not sponsored. But Sharpie, I would love to be sponsored by you. I love your products.
Sharpie, will you sponsor our skincare podcast? Yeah.
We'll do a whole episode about how to remove Sharpie from skin because it's actually really easy.
Okay, cool.
I think we'd be remiss if we just didn't go into like the history of acne because we read a lot of articles, first of all. Go us. But then I was thinking about like, did this exist? Is this like a newfangled thing that came when we created microwaves in the 50s or whatever?
Right. Yeah. Because you think like you don't see a ton of like you look back at like old movies. You don't see people with acne. It seems like, oh, maybe it is something we can blame on like a modern lifestyle. So was this something people were talking about in the past? And what's interesting is, you know, I think there is a lot of blame on like, oh, if you just stopped eating like whatever or stopped living your life this way and just went back to what people were doing 100 years ago, you would have no acne. But actually, people did have acne 100 years ago and 100 years before that and probably 1,000 million years, not a million. I don't know how long have humans been around?
A while.
Whatever. There's been acne for a long, long time. And people have been trying to cure acne for as long as its existence. So it's nothing too new.
One of the earliest descriptions of it was by Aristotle, which I think is hilarious. So it was described by Aristotle and Hippocrates and Pliny and Celsus, which is so cool. But it didn't appear in like traditional texts until 5th century BC. So this is 500 years before Christ was even like a thing.
The origins of the name are kind of murky. There are a couple explanations, I think.
Yeah, the Egyptian one. Akut.
Akut. Yeah, I don't know how to say it, but that means like boils or swelling. And it's thought that that's the root of the word acne.
Mm-hmm.
And then acne vulgaris, which is sort of the technical full name of acne, vulgaris meaning common, and that was first used as a term in 1840. So not that long ago that we got that full name, but acne has been described, as you were saying, since like ancient times.
Yeah, and I mean like apparently like King Tut displayed acne scars, so he suffered with akut. Yes, my king. And he was buried with acne remedies like patchouli, so...
Oh, wow.
Ancient Egyptians would use patchouli's natural medicinal properties for acne and a bunch of other stuff. But it was supposed to strengthen your skin's tissue while balancing oil production. And it made it like it was supposed to be like the perfect treatment for breakouts. So they would be buried with it.
They also used honey.
Yeah.
Ancient Egyptians used honey for tons of ailments. So... You know, it like it's not like, oh, this was just for acne. But I think that's really interesting because honey is in so many acne treatments today. I know so many people who swear by it. So,
yeah,
I don't know, it just goes to show some things stick around. The ancient Greeks had this four humors theory, which was that like humans have four humors in their body, which is blood, phlegm, sorry, this is disgusting, black bile, and yellow bile. And they thought that like an imbalance of that caused acne. And they probably thought an imbalance of that caused pretty much any problem. But they thought like your pores would let humors in and out. Pretty gross. There's so many theories that kept evolving. Like in the 16th century, this one Sir Thomas Eliot guy said that acne came from having too much melancholy blood, which, to be fair, I think if you have acne, you're pretty down in the dumps about it. So.
Yeah, which stems probably from some sort of hormonal imbalance for a lot of people.
But yeah, totally. Like other ideas throughout history, like, you know, too much sex, like masturbation related to your period, like disorders of like menstruation, even like homosexual behavior. I mean, people were trying to pin acne on pretty much everything.
It just goes to show that no one knows what it is. And
yeah,
like
no,
even
literally
today,
literally nobody knew what was happening. Yeah. They didn't know the cause of it. And it wasn't until like the invention of microscopes where scientists first saw skin glands and actually started getting a better idea of how pores get clogged.
Yeah. So flash forward to like the late 1800s, early 1900s, we have these two dermatologists called Willen and Bateman. So these two dudes are basically called the fathers of modern dermatology. And they together determined that acne was from a series of possible factors, but basically that it was agreed upon that it was a quote-unquote disease of the sebaceous glands. So basically the oil-producing glands in your face.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because that theory started off as thinking acne was an infectious disease, like you said, mm-hmm. as opposed to what we now know, it's an inflammatory condition. It's not infectious. So, you know, you don't hug someone with acne and get acne. Mm-mm. But people didn't necessarily know what was up with that back when they were grandfathering dermatology or whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, these two old white men basically were the first people to kind of write everything down in like these British journals of dermatology. But they thought that it was from a series of factors that said like constitutional factors, modes of life, which is basically like how you live your life, the use of cosmetics, affections of the alimentary tract, and menstrual mm-hmm. abnormalities. So
ugh, always those menstrual abnormalities.
Yeah. So even though they like narrowed it down, there's still like what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 possibilities of like what it's coming from, which
yeah
is so funny to me. Like, and that's the same thing now. We go to the dermatologist and they say it could be this, 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 or this, you know?
It could be your diet. It could be your hormones. It could be your insulin. It could be your genetics. It could be pollution. I don't know. There's so many reasons, right? There's so many different possibilities.
Oh, you're not washing your face with dirt? No? I don't know why you're covered with zits. Absolutely drenched with acne. Fuck. Like, I feel like that's what the dermatologist is like.
I had a dermatologist tell me, he was like, well, we've really thrown the book at your acne. And it just made me think of someone throwing like a dermatology textbook at my face because that was the last resort. It was just throwing something at my head.
Big old yikes for that one.
Yeah, he literally just meant that we've tried everything, but it was kind of rude.
Very old phrase.
Yeah. So we have these like fathers of dermatology basically saying it could be all these things that cause acne. We don't really know. But they identify it. At the very least, it's like something that is identified that people are struggling with.
Yeah. So we've identified the issue. Now let's find a solution. And this is when we get into kind of like crazy territory where we have
this is when
like,
it gets fucked up.
Like a ton of weird solutions over the years.
Can I tell you about one like particularly disturbing one?
Yes, please do.
So x-rays were invented and people just started using them for everything. I don't know if you've seen this in history books or something, but people would even use x-rays to sell shoes. They would take like an x-ray to be like, oh, the shoe you tried on looks like it fits really well. Great. Like we took an x-ray of it and we can see inside your shoe, like where your foot is. People were using x-rays for everything because they didn't realize that radiation is crazy bad for you. And so x-ray technology was being used for all these different purposes. And one of them, of course, was acne. And this American researcher in 1902 with a really funny name that I don't really want to say, W.A. Poussey.
Yeah, that seems right.
That seems right. He was like, okay, I think x-rays would be really therapeutic for acne. And A, it didn't really help acne. And he was like, I think it maybe helped for some people, but it's really hard to know if it was the x-ray itself. And for other people who it didn't help, I think he reportedly said, like, well, you just need more treatments of it. But it really fell out of use after radiation was deemed unsafe. And in the article I was reading, it was saying that after the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, people started to get really nervous about radiation. And it was only then that this sort of treatment fell out of practice. But it was something that people were using for quite a long time. And people who had been exposed to the x-ray therapy had much higher rates of melanoma than people who didn't, which was pretty upsetting to read. So obviously do not get an x-ray for your acne. I don't think anyone would suggest that these
Hell
days,
no.
But that's one of the bananas treatments people were using back at the turn of the century and the following decades.
Ugh, I hate even getting x-rays now. Like,
I do too.
I can see why people would think that x-rays would help, but absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, this isn't a remedy per se, but one of my favorite, like, funny things that I learned from doing all this research was that, so you know how this day and age we use, like, pimple patches? Like, Starface
right.
has a pimple patch, and that's supposedly really great, and it's really cute because it's in a shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the ones that are in the shape of, like, a lotus flower, and they have a little jewel in the middle, and then you have, like, the Korean acne spot patches that are supposed to blend into your skin. And then Zitstica, which is, like, the acne influencer community's favorite partnership.
Totally, it is.
Back in the day in France, in, like, the 1700s or some they used to use these things called mouches.
Interesting.
Which were little ornamental patches used to cover up spots. So, like, these were, like, decorative. So, like, in the shape of moons or suns or stars and, like, this was, like, what fashionable people would wear to cover up acne, but it wasn't to conceal it so you wouldn't see. It was, like, to cover it up and do something, like, ornamental and fun.
Yeah. Wait, how do you spell this? I want to Google what it looks like.
Mouches, M-O-U-C-H-E-S.
Let's see.
Which is so interesting to me, but I doubt there's going to be, like...
Oh, beauty marks. Yeah, they would like look like beauty marks, but they would be in little shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it was acne, it was smallpox, like any defect that you had on your face. Yeah, I remember learning about this. Any defect, you would wear like a little beauty mark over it, like a patch in a shape or even just a circle. And it was really stylish. I think it said men and women use them, this website I'm looking at. That's really...
Yeah.
This is funny. You're right. It's kind of back because you have brands like Starface doing patches that are, they're not just meant to blend in. They're meant to cover something, but also they're a statement in its own right.
Yeah, like totally. So I thought that was really funny. That total 360, like we're coming right back around.
I know. Yeah.
320 years later that this is like a thing that we're chilling with now.
Can I tell you about some 1920s to 30s era advice that is going to sound super familiar to today? Okay. So here are the foods that they say to avoid if you have acne. So this is like a 1920s and 30s acne advice about what to eat. So avoid candy, pastry, soda water, ice cream, chocolate, rich foods, fried foods, cocoa, and gravy. And then also
gravy?
Consider, yes, gravy. I don't know why.
Any specification of what animal we're developing the gravy from?
No, I don't know. It just says gravy. So maybe all gravy is off limits. And then it says, you know, try not to have tea, coffee, alcohol, and spices. Spices! That's literally every food. Okay. Can I read you some more that they say to avoid? This is really funny. So this is from a guide from like the 20s about what not to eat. Avoid starchy foods, bread rolls, noodles, spaghetti, potatoes, oily nuts, chop suey, chow mein, and waffles. It's so specific.
Chop suey.
And then here's what you can eat according to this 1920s guide. You can eat cooked and raw fruit. Okay. What is cooked fruit? I guess you can cook fruit. That's fine.
Like stewed apples.
Oh, there you go. So farina is something that they also say is okay. Rice, wheat, oatmeal, green vegetables.
Okay, boiled... first of all, that's so annoying because pastry is made of wheat. But anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
Literally, I know.
Makes no sense.
Boiled or broiled meat and poultry. Clear soup. Yuck. Vegetable
Yum.
Soup.
Clear soup sounds so good.
And an abundance of water, which I think is very, very on point to what people talk about today. Wait, what is clear soup? That just sounds like it's hot water.
No, clear soup is
like a clear broth.
It's basically like boiled. Yeah. Like, have you ever gone to like a hibachi restaurant and ordered food and it comes with clear soup before you start your meal? It's literally like boiled vegetables with maybe sometimes miso added.
That sounds good.
But it's like boiled onions, mushrooms, and carrots.
So it's just not like a really thick like beef stock or chicken stock. It's just like a nice clear.
It's like vegetable stock that they stew for like hours. And then they take all the vegetables out and it's supposed to be crystal clear if you use like high quality vegetables to make it.
Right.
So I like clear soup. So
okay. I just am a little disturbed by the list because they say avoid starchy foods, and then they specifically call it bread rolls, noodles, and spaghetti and potatoes, which I love all of those. I don't know. It's just interesting. Like you said, like they say wheat is okay, but then they say avoid starchy foods. Is wheat not starchy? And then
maybe they mean like processed wheat or something.
Yeah. And then of course they say green vegetables. It's always about something green. And I feel like, sure, eat green vegetables. Like what's wrong with like an orange vegetable or like,
oh my God,
whatever. What other colors they can be.
That makes me think of yesterday. I was like thinking about like, fuck, like at like, I don't know, 8 o'clock. I was like, did I eat a vegetable today?
I've literally had that thought lately.
And I was thinking about it. I did not eat a vegetable yesterday. I had an onion in something, like stir-fried onion, but it was not even a big enough component of the food that I was eating. It was in a Philly chicken cheesesteak. Like, it was not in a healthy food.
So I used to try to eat a vegetable, not for breakfast, because yuck, but I mean, honestly, I'm sorry, breakfast salad, can't do it. But like,
I've never even tried. Like,
no, I haven't tried. So maybe
for those of you who don't know that reference, we love Ann Shadid, our gut health lady. Love her.
Aspirational kind of like lifestyle.
So much of a goal that like I'm afraid to even try her lifestyle sometimes. She eats breakfast salad, like warm breakfast salad. She mentioned of like kale and like a little bit of stir fried kale and like maybe spinach and like what'd she say, salmon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just a level of health that I don't know if I can ever fully be comfortable with in my life.
No.
I think I would have to give up the foods that I like.
My favorite breakfast is Honey Bunches of Oats. Like,
oh, it's such a good cereal.
It has so much sugar in it.
So much sugar.
That's a terrible way to start your day.
Yeah, it is not great.
Couldn't give less of a shit. It's so delicious. I love cereal.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, I just feel like these 19, 20s, and 30s advice is just, it seems really arbitrary. And, you know, I do think that food does play a role in acne. And I'm sure that's something we'll get into on this show later on. But I also think that people who have acne are probably prone to getting nervous and like restricting foods too much. And I think it's just good to like not be too restrictive about things. Like, really, cutting out tea? Are you serious? Like, I don't know. It's different for everybody, right? Like for some people, cutting out peanuts really helps, or cutting out chocolate or coffee, for instance, sometimes has been known to have a link with acne. But to cut out all these things, I mean, these are all the best foods that exist. Like, oh my God. Except for gravy.
I tried to give up coffee and that just didn't work. I think I made it like 2 weeks and I was just like, there's something about the comfort of the routine of coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
That when I'm going to bed at night, I'm excited to drink a warm cup in the morning and like...
Oh, it totally helps you get out of bed. It's something to look forward to.
Yeah, I just really...
The best part of waking up is Folgers in my cup.
I use Folgers Reserve, so you know what?
Do you actually?
Yes, we use Folgers Black Silk, I think it's called, and it's so good.
Uh-huh.
It's so good.
That's hilarious.
Honestly, I want to get the name right. Let me Google the name because I do want to get it right for our listeners. It's called Folgers Black. Yes, Folgers Black Silk. It's so good. It comes in K-cup like pods. It comes in the big thing. It's just, oh, I love it.
My mom's gotten me into...
Shout out Susan!
Yeah, thanks, Mom. she got me some Pete's coffee that's uncaffeinated or decaffeinated coffee, and it's so good. And I totally know what you mean. It's about the ritual. It's really nice to have, like, a cup of coffee, and I do plant-based milk in it, and that's it. And I just, like, really look forward to that. And I'm sorry, like, the 1920s, we're in the 2020s. There's some things we don't want to bring back. And cutting out coffee and potatoes, I don't want to bring that back.
Did you see the other 1920s remedy or 1920, 1930s remedy, which was laxatives?
What?
Yes.
People suggested taking laxatives to help improve your skin.
Yes. The theory was that virgins were unable to eliminate pimple-causing toxins by way of intercourse. So they needed another way by which to release the built-up toxins in their system. Thus, pimples were known in the 1930s as chastity pustules. And it was because of this that laxatives were used to increase waste removal as a way to clear the skin. This is from an article by Birdie.
So can I clarify this? So it was saying if you're a virgin...
Yes, there's no way to get rid of the nasty in you.
Wait, so was it suggesting that getting one way to get rid of acne actually was having sex, but if you're a virgin, you obviously, you're not having sex, yeah. So you're going to have to take a laxative?
Yes.
That's so ironic, because didn't we just talk about how some people believed that having sex
too
caused
much.
Acne?
Yes.
So, oh, too much. But like a little bit of sex would clear your skin. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what the Greeks thought. Yeah. So,
okay,
I mean,
but then this is
shows.
In the 20s and they're saying, oh, just a little bit of sex and your skin will clear. But if you're a virgin and you're not going to be having sex, you have to take a laxative.
Yeah.
That's so wild. That actually makes me think of something that I also found, which was that there was this 1922 article I read, and the author stressed that it was super important to take a daily poop to prevent acne.
I agree with that.
And that, yeah, and that like indigestion or intestinal troubles could be a cause of acne. And I think that's super interesting because in our first episodes, we talked to Anne Shadid, who is a gut health specialist, and she really talked about how important it is to poop and how judging the quality of your poop can reflect just the overall health of your body and your digestion. So that's actually something from the 20s. I'm like, all right, like, I feel like a daily poop is important. I don't think pooping every day will mean that you have clear skin, but if you're not pooping, there might be something going on.
Might be a deeper issue afoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes me think of when we talked to Anne about kefir, which is fermented milk. I read an article that the ancient Egyptians believed sour milk to be an acne remedy, which is kefir, basically.
Yeah.
So they would put it on their skin and they would also ingest sour milk, which is kefir. So, I mean, they said that the fermented lactose from raw milk, when it turned into lactic acid, it helped on the skin and it helped cleanse your body out and all this other crap.
So they were putting it topically and ingesting it, probably?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
The last, like, really weird cure I want to, or cure in quotes, because obviously none of these things cured acne. But I found an article that said that since at least the 17th century, people would use urine on their face. So it was recommended that you use the urine from the
piss
first
face.
Thing in the morning. Yeah. So you like wake up in the morning, you take your first morning pee and you collect the urine and you like pat it into your face. And there's this encyclopedia of folk medicine that said that actually you could start doing this as like early as possible. So like even babies were recommended to use like a wet urine-soaked pad and then to use it on their skin to prevent acne from developing later in their life. And this was something that was practiced in Scotland. Ellen, your heritage.
That's my family.
I'm just kidding.
Maybe they just skipped that with me. And that's
should
why
have done it.
They should have drenched me
I'm
with the
kidding.
Pee rag. And then I would have been glowing. Maybe that's what they did for my sister. And that's why she looks so good and I look like
shit.
Yeah,
you should ask your parents. No, you don't look
they
like shit.
They dunked her in a bottle of piss every morning. It's absolutely disgusting.
But actually, when I was Googling this, there were so many articles about people trying urine on their face today, like trying to figure out if it would work. And honestly, I would never go that far. I don't think
I have
that would ever
that.
Be worth it.
I have seen that. Yeah, I have. I know that that's like a possibility for some people that that's like a cult thing. Only because when I was in like high school and my acne was probably at its worst. I would go on like acne blogs. Yeah, and acne blogs like were like, this is amazing.
Oh, they were suggesting it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the theory is that so urine contains urea, which could possibly work as an exfoliant on your skin. But honestly, there are so many other ways to exfoliate your face. Why would you use your own urine?
Urea? I hardly know.
That was terrible.
Thanks, everybody, for the laughs. Can insert clapping here.
Yay, we love you.
Then you just hear like a splat of a rotten tomato hitting my face. Pimple-faced bitch. Anyway.
Jeez.
Sorry.
About wraps it up for our historical acne episode, but guess what? It's a two-parter. So we are going to be at it next week talking about vintage ads that were honestly pretty rude about acne.
Yeah.
So these are ads for like acne treatments. And our next episode is going to be us making fun of these ads that were honestly kind of making fun of people with acne. So that should be a really good treat. Please check out prettyzitty.com/Patreon if you want to support our show. We have some really cool content on there. We have like blog posts and we're putting bonus episodes up there that are just like little treats for you, you know, just to enjoy more Pretty Zitty stuff. And I don't know, like check it out, please, maybe? I don't know. Our music is by Blade 2 and the show is produced by us. Okay,
bye.
Bye.